This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, third hour. Let's do it. Come on now. You can do it. All right, T, coming from the Rocket Mortgage Studio, Rocket Mortgage giving away $2.5 million prizes during Super Bowl 55. That could be used to buy your dream home. That's awesome. See rules and enter for free today. Just go to RocketMortgageSquares.com. And as I watch a beautiful sunset here on the TV component, the simulcast, great shot. New York City, New Jersey. The days are getting a little longer. Not fully, you know, detectable yet unless you're really into this sort of thing, which I am. I'm ridiculous on the weather and when the sun comes and goes down. It's crazy. Like I have this weird connection, almost too much. I check the weather 10 times a day. But look at that. The sun is still hanging around, Tiki. We're past 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific on the West Coast here. But at least in the Northeast, the sun is not down yet, which is a sign that things are starting to thaw out, buddy.
That's right. I hate going in this basement and coming out after the sun is down. It's like, wait, it's dark already?
That is depressing.
It's freezing. Then take the dog out. It's 12 degrees.
Yeah, how's that going, by the way? How many times you walk in the little guy?
Girl. Girl.
A little girl.
CJ. Claudia CJ. Jean. Mm-hmm. Tracy loved the West
Claudia
Wing.
Claudia Jean. Of course, Tiki's dog is named Claudia Jean. Claudia Jean, can you please fetch the...
She likes these little rubber baseballs that we used to throw around with the boys back when they were young.
Right?
Because they're soft and they're like she could chew them.
Yeah, the pliable ones. Like
yeah, exactly.
The squeaky ones almost.
That's right.
So she's doing well. How many times you walk her now?
She probably goes out 5 times a day. She's still a puppy. She's only... Yeah. 4.5 months old.
That's a little thing right there. That's
no,
awesome.
She's big though because she's age wise she's very young, but she's a Saluki, so she's going to get a little bit taller. Probably
Southern Illinois, the Salukis.
That's right. That's right.
Did you know that?
I did because we talked about this. I told you I got her 4 months ago, 3 months ago.
I don't think that came up when you said it on the air.
I'm
that
positive
must have been with somebody
it
else.
Maybe.
I don't think that we said
because you're the only one that would say that to me. I'm telling you,
I don't think Tiki said that on the air.
I certainly don't remember.
I don't remember. Well, D-Cell, he didn't even listen to the last segment. He didn't even listen to Donovan McNabb. He's going to listen to Tiki referencing the Southern Illinois Salukis. Mm-hmm. So what is the earliest that you actually get up and walk her?
So she gets up when we get up. So Tracy,
well, that's good.
The phone, it's Tracy's alarm, the phone. It is on her phone, but you know what I mean? Her alarm goes off at 7:10 or so.
Yeah, it's not too bad. With us. We're right around that neighborhood. It's not terrible.
She actually walks in. She sleeps in our room. She goes into her crib at 10:30 by herself. It's great. She's actually great.
I hear you.
It's only the occasional accident here or there in the room because nobody's around and she, like, nobody to take her out. So she'll, whatever.
No.
But she's great. She's going to be probably 45 pounds or so.
Oh, she's going to grow that big?
Yeah.
That's a big
dog. Salukis
right
are like,
there.
Think of a greyhound, BT.
Yeah.
What a greyhound, for those who don't know what a Saluki is.
The Loyola Greyhounds, if you want another college
there
reference
you
for you.
They're like from greyhounds the with furry ears and a tail. So, the furry tail.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah,
they're
listen, I love
beautiful
dogs.
Beautiful dog.
Teak, if I wasn't so lazy and selfish, I'd have a dog. I told you, when this
I know,
came up,
right.
I'm not getting up to walk the dog. I'm
that's
just,
right.
I can't do it. I love dogs. I
now
love them.
Now she's great. She's teething, so she's nipping a little bit. But other than that, that's all right.
Let's give her one of Tracy's diamonds to gnaw on. I'm sure she's got enough there. All right, buddy. Speaking of diamonds, Lamar Jackson's got some nice bling. But if he gets his contract that his head coach believes, and I think most of us for the most part believe he will get, then he'll be able to buy really whatever he wants. And he can pretty much do that now. let's first play this. This is from John Harbaugh. maybe some things to discuss, maybe slightly disagree with, and try to decipher what is purely company speak. if there's, maybe this is fully what's in his heart, I don't know. A little company speak, or fully resolved to getting the money and the long-term extension for a quarterback who is electric but has struggled to grow in the passing department. Here's John Harbaugh on Lamar Jackson's extension.
I'm very confident that that Eric and those guys will do a great job of looking at that. Of course, absolutely, we want, you know, Lamar to sign a long-term deal and be with us, and that's I'm totally certain that that's going to happen. You know, when it happens, that's the details, you know, and that's what we got to figure out.
Okay, unwavering, and yeah, of course, why wouldn't he? He's won a lot of games with Lamar. What did you hear? I think I know what I heard,
yeah,
but what did you hear?
You know, you kind of forget because he's a first-rounder, obviously, and they're going to pick up his fifth-year option, but he's outside of the top 10, so that number is, I mean, it's short of what, you know, the elite quarterbacks in the NFL make. He was the 32nd overall pick. Last pick. We all remember this. Ozzie Newsome moved up, which means it. I mean, he's made some money, but he hasn't made a ton of money to this point. But he's only, I mean, he's averaging just under $2.5 million per year. That's his contract value. Mm-hmm. And so for a guy who has got his team to the playoffs 3 years in a row, and won an MVP, mm-hmm, and is electric and exciting. I mean, I don't
sells
know.
Sells jerseys.
Exactly. I was going to see. I couldn't remember what his number was on the list, but it's got to be in the top 10.
It's got to be.
Maybe even top five, because he's that dynamic kind of player. Mm-hmm. But the question you'll continually ask yourself before you pay him whatever the number is going to be is he our championship viable quarterback? And I think John Harbaugh, what he's saying is he believes that Lamar Jackson is their championship caliber quarterback. Therefore, I think he is going to get paid. The question is when do you do it? So we know with the new rookie deals, you can't start negotiating extension until after your third year. He's right after his third year. His fourth year is already part of the contract. They have to decide also this offseason whether or not they pick up his fifth year option, which they clearly are going to do.
Yep.
It's just a matter of when you decide to pay Lamar Jackson. If I'm on record with this for really anybody. Like the fact that the Eagles did this with Carson Wentz and the Rams did it with Jared Goff, it just felt completely unnecessary to pay a guy an exorbitant amount of money before you have to.
You've always said this.
Right? Even if he deserves it. Pat Mahomes might be the lone exception to this conversation, BT, because I mean, you win an MVP and then you win a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP in your third year. Yeah, you know what? You're probably the guy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there was a great story in The Athletic detailing how Andy Reid and I'm forgetting their GM's name right now, so this is slipping my tongue.
For the Chiefs?
Yeah, for the Chiefs.
With a V.
Brian Veach. How he became obsessed with him, Brett Veach, how he became obsessed with Pat Mahomes when he was like a sophomore at Texas Tech. But he said, this kid is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. And he had to convince the organization to buy in, and he just kept preaching it. You know, Pat Mahomes, when he comes up, he's going to be the guy. We're going to take Pat Mahomes. Dude's amazing. Did you see what he did against Texas? Yeah. Pat Mahomes is amazing. You see what he did at Oklahoma? And when it came time for the draft, they kept it this great secret because they had to move from like 27 to 10.
Yeah, big jump.
To
big
get a
jump.
Big jump, and they did it with Doug Whaley with the Bills, mm-hmm, which would set the Bills up on the path that they are now because they got so much equity. Their first-round pick and then an 18 and a third-rounder or something like that. So, but the point was the Chiefs knew really for like, you know, like 6 years ago that Pat Mahomes was their guy. Right, as opposed to most.
By the way, are we buying that story totally, partially? Really?
I've heard it before that they fell in love with him and they kept it the biggest secret in the draft.
Like, well, it's not like he was playing on the moon. He was playing in
Yeah, but they weren't. But they weren't good. BT, they were 16.
When he threw 700 yards against Baker Mayfield,
I agree.
They played Oklahoma. They said it was like a 70 something something game.
Yeah, and by the way,
people knew who he was.
By the way, Baker
wasn't
Mayfield
wasn't like Steve McNair at Alcorn State.
By the way, Baker Mayfield and the Oklahoma Sooners won that game.
I know they did.
And the interesting stat in that game, this is stupid trivia, is they both teams had the exact same number of yards.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
854 yards. Both teams. on the nose. Now, Pat Mahomes had 700 himself, you know, 700 and something yards himself.
Yeah.
But they had the exact same number of yards. I think it was an NCAA record at 1,700 yards or so in a game, which is just ridiculous. But the point is, they knew. They were saying for a long time that he was their guy. Mm-hmm. With Lamar Jackson, I can't believe that the Ravens were like, we want Lamar, we want Lamar, we want Lamar. And in fact, the story was Ozzie Newsome was like, I'm going to go get him and you're going to thank me later type of situation. Cause they moved up to 32 to get him. But again, my long story, the short story is don't pay the kid until you have to. That's what I believe. Cause you never know. You never know when a kid has a regression year. And we're still so many question marks about what his true ceiling is. Mm-hmm. We know what his excitement ceiling is. We know that he can win playoff games and win MVPs, but what's that actual ceiling from a, you know, throwing the football standpoint and, you know, lifting his teammates around him, in moments that matter most, that is in the postseason. We don't know that yet.
We don't know that. You know, and this is not any shade at Lamar Jackson. This
None
is just
all.
Reacting to what we see. And listen, even if he doesn't get concussed in that playoff game, it wasn't happening.
No,
that
they
night.
Weren't winning that game.
Wasn't there.
Nope.
I went through the numbers the other day. Small sample, obviously, just a couple of games. But he has thrown a pick in every playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even really want to count the first year. I mean, they were. I think that was the was that the Chargers game?
Yes.
Against the Yeah, against the Chargers. I mean, because listen, the one thing that I said, to be fair to Lamar Jackson, I feel like too many people omit his peers in the evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, Baker Mayfield, number one, is older than all those young men that were drafted in 2018, every one of them.
Yep.
And Baker's just played his first playoff game, and here we are, you know, we're raving about Baker, you know, hey, finally clicked, hey, new regime, coached him up. Lamar's played the playoffs every year.
Exactly.
And you got to be fair to Lamar. Now, the difference is when he gets there against well-coached teams that have at least the shell of a decent defense either. Listen, if you're a playoff team, you might not have the 85 Bears defense or the 86 Giants or the Purple Leaders, the 70s with the Vikings or with Killer Bees 70. I mean, you're not going to have that. You don't have to have that kind of defense or the Ravens that beat you guys in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But if you're playing a team in the playoffs, they are either well-coached, have a great secondary, or a pass rusher who can throw wreak havoc into the game. Now, you might not have all three components, but there's probably a good chance you'll have certainly one of the three and probably on some level two of the three. So you're going up against better coaches, better scheming, better players, blah, blah, blah. You know, what is his ceiling? When I try to close my eyes, do I? And he hasn't even gotten to the conference championship where he's playing against the best.
But can you see him getting to and even winning a conference championship?
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, so I could see anything.
Yeah.
All right, that's not disrespect to Nick. I can literally see anything.
Yeah.
And we all know the Dilfers and the Brad Johnsons.
True.
But
there's certain players that you look at and you're like, if it's on, like, all things equal, you know, team-wise, if it's on him, can he win in – can he get to and win a conference championship? Like, there's certain guys that you right now you're looking at that like, yeah, not so sure. Like Mitch Trubisky, yeah, he could be good.
Trubisky.
No, but this is my point. This is the contrary contrary example. It's like Mitch Trubisky, he's going to get to a championship and win one. It's right now I can't see that.
No, I can't see it either.
And so the question is, do you see it with Lamar Jackson? Because if you do, then in a year from now you probably want to pay him as opposed
waiting. That might not even be the answer. The answer might be somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
My answer to your question would be, right now, I don't see that. I see too many deficiencies throwing the football. Mm-hmm. And I see a player who is slight of frame and is only going to get older. Granted, he's very young.
Yeah.
Not younger. So he's only going to age. And if he doesn't clean stuff up, granted, they need some real weapons around him, throwing the ball, I get it. But I think the answer to your question would be, while I don't envision that like right now, today, when you flip me that question, my answer would be more no than yes.
Yeah.
But that's why this season coming up and this offseason is
no doubt
paramount.
Yeah.
Because that answer could change.
Yeah. For me, BT, it's a heavy maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you.
You know what I mean? That's the only thing you can answer.
I'll sign up heavy maybe.
Heavy maybe for him.
I know.
And look, you watched that game against Tennessee before he, split that 48-yard touchdown and really changed the momentum of that game. And look, the Ravens defense played out of their minds, especially after being down 10-0. They basically didn't score again. So,
well, think about the Ravens against the Bills. If the Bills didn't bring it back, 101 yards to the house.
That's right.
And 7 points right
That's
there. Right. They won 17-3. Ravens' right. defense was great against them, too.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Their defense is stout.
Yeah.
And so you got to give them credit where credit belongs. But, and you know, at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson in that game against Tennessee, before he started, you know, loosening them up, maybe they got fatigued, I don't know, and started running and making plays with his legs like he always does. Mm-hmm. You'd watch the pass plays, and there's nobody open. You know, there's just this. And so part of that is maybe the talent of the receiving core. Some of it is play design. It just, mm-hmm. like, there's nothing that looked easy.
How much is Lamar missing, though? Is he missing stuff?
No, maybe he is, but I think it's a confidence thing. So I'll give you the perfect example. Like, you know, who was it? Henny. In Henny's game, there were some throws that he had to make that were their timing. Mm-hmm. And the only way you make that throw is if you just, you know, that Travis Kelce is coming through that hole and he's going to be sitting right there. He's not there yet, but you know he's going to be there. You're not seeing it visually. It's not presented itself to you yet. Mm-hmm. But you know you got to let that ball go. He's going to beat the defender around the corner, and the ball's got to be there. Lamar is still in that phase where he has to see it before he wants to let the ball go, mm-hmm. right? His anticipatory skills just aren't there. And that's because they haven't practiced it, or they haven't designed plays where he's repped it. You know, that 10,000 hour thing. He hasn't done that enough.
Yep.
And so the only way to mitigate it is to create easy throws. And the problem is the Ravens don't have easy throws in their offense. And so it's a combination of a lot of things. That's why I'm heavy maybe on him.
I agree.
That question about whether or not he can get to and win an AFC championship game.
To be determined. Now, listen, I wouldn't slip it past him where, you know, if he gets to the AFC championship game next year and he's still a little deficient throwing the football, that he breaks Kaepernick's record of 181 yards
right.
rushing for a
That's
quarterback
right.
like he did against the Packers. I
That's
mean,
right.
anything's possible with him because he is a sublime physical talent. But you got to throw the ball better. You know, you want to make $35, $40 million a year. You're not going to be running. You're not going to be running when you're 34 years old. You're just not. You know, you might scramble to extend the play. You might be able to do some bootlegs, and he'll still retain his quickness. Even Vic at the end was still quick.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's not going to turn into Joe Flacco overnight in terms of being stationary or Tom Brady. But he's got to be better throwing the ball. So to be determined, Teague. We're following this, and we're rooting for him. We love Lamar. We love watching him. But still unfinished business. And he's got to get in the lab, and they've got to coach him up a little differently and get him more weapons. All right, Darren Waller's going to join us next. He's a weapon. How would he lie? I mean, I know Andrews is good. He's got a good tight end. But imagine if they deployed a double tight end set with Waller basically being a wide receiver. And then, oh, my God. But we'll chat with Waller coming up next. Outstanding tight end for the Raiders. Get his thoughts on Coach Gruden, his quarterback, Derek Carr, what went awry at the end of the season, what does he think about the Chiefs-Bills matchup? That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Always a pleasure getting a chance to welcome in one of the true stars of the NFL. Anytime you get a chance to rap with one of the best at his position, as our next guest most clearly is, that will be Darren Waller from the Las Vegas Raiders, tight end. It's an absolute treat, and we know his story from the depths of despair and personal anguish to the top of the mountain, and I'm sure I can sum it up pretty easy. I know it wasn't easy for him to get to this point, but boy, does he make it look easy when he's on that football field. Darren's with us here, Tiki and Tierney. Darren, congrats on a personal great season and a great rise to where you've reached. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you, guys, and appreciate you guys having me today.
You bet.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. One question, this is outside of your control, but I just wonder if you have an opinion on it. I saw the All-Pro team come out the other day, and there was no second team. Obviously, Kelce was the first team All-Pro, but there was no second team. I was like, what about Darren Waller? Did you see that? I mean, not that you get upset because it's a subjective honor, but that surprised me that you, who have been grown into one of the best tight ends in football, weren't given that honor. You deserved it for sure.
Yeah, I saw it. People were definitely hitting me up about it, but I mean, I get how their system works where Kelce got all the first team votes, and you know, I don't try to worry about stuff like that too much. I just, you know, when I look in the mirror and I like what I see, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't have to worry about it because you do your thing on the field and everybody knows it, including your head coach. I did your last game of the season, and it was entertaining which was fun for you and Denver. You won on a two-point conversion, which you scored the two-point conversion. But this season was an explosion for you, and it was, and BT mentioned, it almost looked easy. Is this game gotten easy for you, or does it feel easy for you?
I would say I've made it a lot simpler, and I feel like that's come from preparation and just you know off seasons of repetition and putting in work and not having to worry if I belong or if I'm good enough to other people or if I'm good enough to myself. I've just made it simpler from a mental perspective and just allowed just the physical tools that God gave me to kind of take over.
Was there a point, because, you know, Tiki's talked about when he was first drafted by the Giants in 97, Darren, he was a second-round pick, great career at Virginia, second-round pick, returning punts, starting to get some looks as a running back, and then it took a couple of years for him to develop into one of the best players in the game. Was there an aha moment? When did it click? When you're obviously humble just based on what you said about the All-Pro, but when you said to yourself or to your closest, your family, oh, I know. I can slay this. Like, when did it slow down for you? Do you have a specific moment?
I would say last year we played Minnesota. I think it was the third game of the season. And, I mean, we got beat pretty bad as a team, but I had 13 catches for 135, and that defense is really good, like loaded with talent.
Yes, it is.
And there were a lot of, like, I made plays in the passing game, but also, like, was in pass pro repetitions with, you know, they had Griffin and Hunter at the time, and I felt like I was holding my own with them and just doing things in the run game. So it was just like a lot of stuff happened in that game that I was like, oh, this is a really good defense, and I did okay. So I'm like, I feel like I can build on this going forward.
There you go. It's Darren Waller, tight end, outstanding tight end for the Raiders. So, you know, you've got the components. I mean, Jacobs can run. Mm-hmm. You've got a pretty good quarterback. You've got a good head coach. The O-line, there's been a lot of resources there, a lot of money, a lot of free agent money. You know, you drafted Ruggs, good, young, fat, he can burn, he can fly. What's the problem with the Raiders? Why are the Raiders getting to this point the last couple of years and things kind of spiral out of control? They unravel when they're not supposed to, at least from our seat. What's happened the last 2 years?
I feel like from a complimentary football perspective, that's been our downfall. There have been times where the offense has been firing pretty good and you know, the defense hasn't played to what they expect themselves to play, and there are times where the defense is playing pretty good. And offensively, you know, we struggle with ball security or we can't finish drives in the red zone, things like that. So it's just like being on the same page with all phases of the game hasn't been something that we've been able to put together consistently over the past few years, but that's something that we're looking to do next year and building going forward into the future.
Yeah, no, one of the things that Coach Gruden talked about was how he's looking for that alpha on the defensive side of the ball, and he believes that you have it on the offense side, obviously, because of the talent that's there. And, you know, doing that game, I kept saying to myself, this team is – I mean, I'm bullish on you guys. You're not far away. It's not like, you know, you're missing this and that and the other thing. It's there's little things. How close do you guys think you are for, you know, competing for tops in the division? Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be there for a couple of years here. But, you know, how far away do you guys feel you are from being one of those top teams in the AFC?
I agree with you. Not far at all. I mean, we've played, you know, Kansas City late in November or early December for first place in the division the past 2 years.
Yep.
So I feel like just that alone says that, you know, we can hold our own and are able to put ourselves in those moments consistently. But it's about what we do from there and finishing the season with the same attention to detail, finishing with the same hunger to improve and not just, you know, get through or try to get to some point, but to continue to improve day in, day out, even when you're not your freshest or not your, you know, feeling the best during the week. It's in those times, are we going to continue to get better? And that's what we got to do.
So Darren, talk to us a little bit here. We know about your proximity, if you will, to the Chiefs being in the AFC West here. You also play Buffalo. You played them early in the season. You guys lost by, I think it was a touchdown, close game. You know, when you prepared for that Buffalo game, I know I'm taking you back to basically early October, late September, I get it, but and you played a lot of games since there. But when you watched them on film, when you prepped for them, in the back of your mind, were you saying, all right, this is a team that is maybe a threat to represent the AFC and maybe get to the Super Bowl. Are you surprised by where they are at this point? Give us a little something on the Bills, Darren.
I was not very surprised. You know, preparing for the Buffalo, I was like, this is a dangerous team, without a doubt. Someone that is definitely a playoff team and someone that can, you know, have a chance to represent the AFC for sure. With the Buffalo defense, you definitely have to match their effort throughout the game. That's the first thing. And then they have talent at every level. Great interior and, you know, DN pass rush. Tremaine Edmonds in the middle. You know, I feel like guys like Milano and those guys are underrated as well. Great safety tandem. One of the best corners in the game out there. So that defense is top to bottom, talented and fundamentally sound. And then you see what the offense is doing. That's just insane.
Yeah. No, you know, and you know, the team that they're playing, the Kansas City Chiefs, you are one of the few, really the only one, because they kind of didn't suit up really for the last week of the season, but you were the only team that beat them.
They abused them.
Yeah. And so what was the key, you know, to beating the Kansas City Chiefs? Because they feel like, you know, they're elite, obviously, but you guys handled it. And what's the key to that?
Offensively for us in that game, what we did was they like to take chances with the bracket coverage where they'll jump people and leave the middle of the field open. So there were a lot of deep post routes that were open that game. So you got to take your shot, whereas, you know, maybe a 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2 where you'd be super conservative, take a shot because they're being very aggressive with their coverage. You can take advantage of that. And that's where those big plays came from. And just running the ball consistently. I feel like these last 2 years, Kansas City's defense has gotten better as the season goes along and they play better in the playoffs. But if you stick with the run, I feel like that's a recipe for success, and take those shots in situations where you know, they try to be aggressive with their coverages.
Yeah, by the way, I was going to say, Darren, go ahead, T, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to just say that you were perfectly balanced in that game. 31 carries, 31 pass attempts.
Oh, wow, I didn't even realize that. Yeah. That's perfect. And listen, right, what you just said about running the ball, that's really the big difference, maybe the only difference, although Mahomes is a little bit, you know, and Allen's great, but Mahomes is Mahomes. The ability to run the ball, the Chiefs put up about 120-something yards a game, where the Bills are – they'll get some runs, but a lot of the runs are coming from Allen, you know? I mean, yeah, Singletary get a few touches. Like, there's just less balance with Buffalo, and for that reason, I'm going to pick the Chiefs. Is there a reason to maybe pick Buffalo to win this game? That's something I didn't identify. Can you actually pick the Bills to win?
I can. I like their receiver matchups. I don't see anyone sticking with Diggs, anyone sticking with Cole Beasley. The young Davis, guys like that, John Brown, they have the advantage in the skill players, and I feel like they're going to stick with what they do.
Yeah. No,
calling the upset here, Teak. Look at him.
I hear it. Darren, we know BT mentioned your story and, you know, the addiction that you had to overcome. And your foundation, the Darren Waller Foundation, it's helping other kids and younger young adults, I should say, do the same. Tell us a little bit about this. It's obviously an amazing initiative, but even more powerful because of your journey and your story.
So, yeah, it's obviously just, you know, basically wanting to give young people tools, not tell them what to do, not talk down on them for what they may be doing or what they may think about doing, but it's just more so putting tools out in front of them, and my story being one of them, letting them choose for themselves, and hopefully that those tools are something that they can grab onto, whether it's, you know, a creative hobby or it's meditation or it's, you know, just something that can occupy their time or occupy their mind and help allow them to be themselves and not want to conform. So that's really the thing. Of course, educating them on what drugs and alcohol can do to them going forward, they choose to take that route, but it's more so just letting them know that, hey, there are more options to, you know, being cool. You don't have to fit in. You don't have to be cool. You don't have to do all that. You can be yourself and do what you want to do in life and be just fine. So that's really what the foundation is all about.
That's amazing. And Darren, when you come across, you know, young men and young women, and not even just young, but just people in general that have demons and addictions, various addictions, obviously, do you find that the majority of those conflicted and battling those diseases and those demons are less willing to admit that they have a problem or just not yet ready to change their ways?
I'd say it's a mixture of both, because I saw both of those in me. I feel like the biggest breakthrough and the greatest change happened when I finally admitted that, you know, I had a problem and that I wasn't as in control as I thought I was, and I needed to let some things go and surrender. And there is a pride element involved because you don't want to admit that defeat. You don't want to think of yourself as weak, but in that weakness, there's strength. It allows you to change. There's more room for God to work, or whatever you believe in, to work on your behalf, to, you know, allow you to see who you really are and the power that you really have in yourself. So I think there's a mixture of both. And it's tough to overcome. It's tough to reach that point. It was incredibly painful for me, but incredibly rewarding as well.
It's amazing. It really, I mean, I know I keep saying it's amazing every time you finish talking, but it truly is. I mean, we have you on the show because you're one of the superstars of the NFL, but there are a lot more people that will probably, at the end of this interview, you know, take that away with them as they hear this coming through the radio speakers and smartphones, et cetera. You know, just talking, just keeping it real and how tough it could be. And I know you were in pretty deep. I've read stuff about you. You've been very open about it. It's great to hear you fighting. It's great to see you thriving. And it's really impressive to see you trying to help people. Good on you, man. Really good for you, Darren. Great job.
Congrats, Darren, on the success and continued success going forward.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Tiki, this definitely means a lot to me because I grew up, my dad was a Giants fan, so I watched him growing up all the time. So I appreciate this.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, but my dad was born in Queens and lived in New York, and so we moved here. I grew up here.
Is your pop still alive? Hopefully, everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, he's alive.
Listen, Darren, Raider. Thank God, Raider fans going to hate this, but Teak, listen, Ingram, they're going to probably cut Evan Ingram. Why don't you get him over there with the Giants, man?
No, John Gruden is never letting you go ever. Sorry, and he's got what, 7 more years left on that contract. You're going to be there forever, Darren.
He should be if they're smart. Good
man,
stuff, Darren.
You're fun to watch and you're fun to root for, Darren. Continued success.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man.
One of the great tight ends in the game,
amazing.
For sure.
I mean, I kind of forgot that about the All-Pro. Like, you got to...
Yeah, you brought that up with me, and I didn't even really notice that.
I forgot it. I forgot that it's all about, like, the number of votes. And if everybody votes for one guy, then there's no second-team guy.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
I mean, Robert Tonyan had a great year, too. So how are there no second? I don't get that. I just don't understand it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer for you. All I know is that Darren Waller should have some sort of stipulation next, like some sort of level of accomplishment next to his name. Nine touchdowns, 100-something catches.
105, which is a franchise record. No, 107. I take that back.
How many yards? 1,200 for a tight end? What do you have?
We had 100 and some, so it's like – almost 1,300 yards, BT.
Oh, my God.
It makes no sense.
Double teamed.
There's no chance you watched Darren Waller play any of his games and said, that kid's not one of the best tight ends in football.
Listen, I'm not trying to pat myself, but I told you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You were telling me Kelsey, who's obviously right there.
Yeah.
And Kittle right there. And I'm saying, take this kid Darren Waller for the Raiders. He's right there.
Yep.
And he is. All right, let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that conversation with Darren. Ack's update blast after that. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney, really good stuff today. Darren Waller's just a gem of a human who his story is just incredibly unique. He was dark and he was deep into addiction, as he's chronicled many times. I mean, he's not shy about it. I guess you can't be shy about it. If you want to be a spokesperson to help incentivize others, you got to be real with your story, you know? Major credit to him, major props, and just a great player. And Donovan McNabb was awesome on the Eagles head coaching hiring, got into a little bit of Bieniemy there, obviously into the Wentz and the Jalen Hurts stuff. Radio.com, Apple iTunes, Tiki and Tierney, or YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney for all the stuff on the show. Good show today so far, right?
Yeah, agreed.
I liked it.
Good guests.
Great guest here. We're going to get to the blast in a moment. What do we have tomorrow? Tomorrow's obviously a football Friday. We'll rev it up with both of the games. And I don't know, Diesel, any guest books for tomorrow? We have anything set yet or no?
Mike has not put anything in Slack yet. Right. I'm not sure.
All right, got you. Ready for the blast, Teak? See what we got cooking here?
Yes, we do.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Just found out we might have Ocho Cinco, as that was communicated from Samther to D-Cell to my headset. There you go. So that's a possibility for tomorrow. All right, former Niners head coach Mike Singletary. I want winners. That's one of the best press conferences. Listen, Campbell with the Detroit Lions today. Can't have it. Can't do it. Can't win with them. Can't have it. I want winners. Oh, that's great. I love that. Anyway, Mike Singletary, my family, I'm absolutely nuts yelling in here. 1-21 in two seasons. Mm-hmm. This high school team didn't do a whole lot of winning. I don't know if he yelled at them quite like that, but Trinity Christian Addison High School in Dallas, let's just say they were in a bit of a slump. They played 22 times. They won once. Now reports say the Bears legend is being considered for the Bears defensive coordinator spot. Could you see Singletary returning to Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could. It was funny because
can't do it.
Yeah, I was watching a
can't win with him.
I guess it was a commercial that Singletary was in.
Oh yeah, but he was on the sled, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Was that like
Geico
or something? I think it was.
I think it was Geico, but yeah. I mean, I was watching that commercial, and for whatever reason, because he's so intense, I was like, I can't believe he didn't make it as a head coach, like a coach, just anywhere.
Yep.
And it made me ask, like, what the heck is he doing now? And it's funny that this is a blast question. But could I see him returning to Chicago? Yeah, I definitely can. He's got the intensity. He just didn't have the chops as a head man. And sometimes when you don't have that and you get a little bit older, people start to count you out. But I could see this. I think it'd be a decent hire.
I'd like to see him go to the college game because I think he can really influence young men. I think he's got that personality.
Yeah.
It's funny, as scary as he was on the field, he really is a gentle giant with a great soul for humanity. That's why even though they didn't win a lot of games, you know, the 21 out of 22 they lost at this Christian school in Dallas, I'm pretty sure the young men who played for him are emerging better young men than when they first started playing for Coach Singletary. You know, I don't know. He's been out of the game a little bit. Yeah. I don't want to say he's a passed him by because I certainly wouldn't say that, but are the constant – I don't know if I love him to be the D.C., you like maybe a different role, linebackers coach. And I'm not trying to downgrade him because his mind is fertile. I don't mean that, but has been out of the game for a while.
Yeah.
But then again, guys like Chan Gailey come back, and
that's right.
You know what? I don't love it. I love Mike. I don't know if I love that hire, but if that's what he wants, then I hope that's what he gets because I'm a huge Singletary fan. By the way, you know that rant, can't have it, won't do it, can't win with him. Yeah. That was all about Vernon Davis. Without Coach Singletary,
Vernon Davis is out of the league, probably.
And he has said this. I mean, he made him leave the field.
Mm-hmm.
You could still see that's when Vern had the long dreads.
Yeah.
Can still see him like berating him, you know, coach toward player. And Vernon Davis, that's when they played at Candlestick Park, so they had the Giants dugout. And to get to the locker rooms, you had to go down the baseball dugout. You could still see Vernon Davis walking off the field. And we've had Vernon on the show at Super Bowls. To this day, he said, that man turned my entire career around. So much respect for Singletary, one of the greats. Anyway, former Washington quarterback Dwayne Haskins agrees to a one-year deal with the Steelers to back up Big Ben. What's our thoughts on a one-year deal with a team that he won't start?
I don't understand this, really. Especially because their new offensive coordinator is Matt Canada. Who has been a really good college coach for a long time, 25 years, I believe he was in college, and now he is the offensive coordinator after taking over for Randy Fichtner, who got fired near the end of last season. I don't know how he's going to get developed behind Big Ben, because we know Big Ben is obviously great, but he doesn't have a good track record of developing the guys behind him. Remember that
that's a couple years
ago?
That's true. I just think those guys didn't have a lot of talent, though, to be totally
honest
with you.
True, true. Well, but I mean, does Dwayne Haskins? I mean, we'll see.
Don't know. But
it's just odd. It feels odd to me.
I actually like it. I think it's important, not that Washington didn't have this, the beginning of a new good culture with Rivera, which they do. But, you know, I think that I think it's great self-awareness to go to a franchise where, number one, you're humble enough to swallow your pride. You know you're not playing unless Big Ben goes down. That's number one. But just to walk into a building with professional accountability and energy and championship aspirations, and it's all documented, like the Steelers win. And I think it's a good thing, and I think it's smart that he recognizes that's necessary. There's probably other situations where he can go and compete, you know, go to a training camp battle, veterans, whatever, and maybe win, maybe not. But if you don't win that, then maybe your career dissipates and you wither away. I think it's smart to align yourself with a winning franchise, a proud franchise. And I don't think it's that dissimilar from Jameis Winston. But Sean Payton, Jameis, that's gimme. Yeah. This guy Canada from college, I'm not sure. But I still like it. I think it's a smart move by Dwayne Haskins. All right. According to reports, Clippers are among several teams interested in trading for Pelicans point guard Lonzo Ball. By the way, I'd love to see my Knicks get their hands on Lonzo Ball. Could he be a difference maker for the Clippers?
Yeah,
of course.
Could
he be a difference maker, team?
I think he can be a difference maker for the Clippers. He's got great defensive skills, as we've seen, even though his shot was a little busted when he first came in the league. He's always been a good defender. And, you know, that they don't need scorers. They don't. Maybe they need a little bit more of a facilitator. But if he is a great assister and can, you know, help things, especially on the second unit, and then also play great defense, I think he's an asset for anyone.
I agree. I like him. You know, I think that he's judged by his name and the splash that was associated with his name when he was still in college, and, you know, the bombastic ways of his pops, who's dialed it down a bit, and obviously LaMelo's a beast, and he's balling too. I think that any team that's in this conversation for a championship, as the Clippers so clearly are, how can you not say that it would be, you know, a pretty savvy move to bring somebody in who can run the offense and set up three guys that can score from anywhere, basically, play defense, you know, 35, 40 feet away from the rim, and has an uncanny court sense. I add that to any team's rotation, you know, put them on the Nets, put them on the Bucks, put them on the Clippers, put them on the Lakers, put them on, you know, the Mavericks, put them on the Denver Nuggets, put them on any of those teams, the Boston Celtics. He'd help them all. He's a good player. Lonzo could play.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
We got the Lakers and Bucks tonight, by the way. It should be fun.
Yeah.
And Giannis, by the way, Giannis, you know, can, if the game's tight down the stretch, can he take the bull by the horns and can he defend LeBron? Can you do it? That, listen, he's a tremendously gifted player.
It's just not obviously. It's just not their game plan. They want him to be the help defender. Nah, they don't. I
need more for my defensive player of the year and a back-to-back MVP. And if, listen, you win two MVPs and multiple defensive player of the year awards, you're on the path to be an all-time great. I expect my all-time great to hit free throws when the game's tight, hit a couple of threes when the game's tight, and definitely to take the burden, to shoulder the burden of responsibility to say, out of the or in the huddle, I got LeBron.
He's not doing any of that.
Well, then that's a problem.
He's not hitting free throws.
I got Tatum.
He's not hitting a three-pointer.
I got Butler on this play.
And he's not going to Michael Jordan, the best player on the other team, the best ball handler. He's a help defender. It's how they do it.
Now, you can't give DPOY awards to help defenders.
But that's what he does. And that's what I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you, that's just what they do. And their biggest thing that they're lacking is Wesley Matthews. When he left and they had lost that wing defender because he was the guy that shut down everybody last year, they're kind of stuck right now.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's in Milwaukee. Be watching that game a bit. Teak, have a great Thursday. Tomorrow, Football Friday, we rev it up, conference championship. Looking forward to it, buddy.
You as well, B.
Thank you, Teak. Appreciate you, man. If you missed anything, obviously it's up there on social media, Twitter, at Teak and Tierney. Have a great night. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll catch you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.